Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Keith. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right, minus being sick, just rocking my fourth cold of the year. How about yourself?
Same here, man. Same here. I don't know. Have you ever, do those flu shots work? Have you ever had a flu shot? Do those work?
My wife gets them every year, and she gets significantly fewer illnesses than I do. The downside is I'm kind of a pansy and petrified by needles. So that's the downside for me. So I just never get them.
I got a something about going into the grocery store, like with pharmacies and like getting a shot. That kind of weirds me out. But
you have the approach of like, there's no way they're qualified for this. This can't be right.
Like, you can't put the guy next to like the ice cream and like think that that's okay.
What? So I would argue that that's exactly where he should be. Think about it, right? Kid gets a shot, you know, vaccine or something. What do all kids want, and a lot of parents offer them afterwards, if they're like, oh, you did such a good job, ice cream.
So you're saying it's planned?
It's a mind game.
People put the pharmacies right next to the frozen food section just so that their flu shots, just so they can sell more ice cream for flu shots.
Bingo. I was just sort of joking, but that might honestly be a real consideration.
I like it. I think they could also store the medicine, if you know, in the cooler for the medicine that needs to be, you know, cooled down. They have a whole cooler system right next to their pharmacy.
Yeah, that would make sense too, to use it that way.
Yeah, I'm also sick, man. I mean, this is also my fourth cold / flu / can't talk. I couldn't talk like 2 days ago, so we had to move this recording a few days away.
Yeah, this always brings up the question of, why do we live in Ohio?
Oh, well, yeah, I look outside my window every day and ask myself that question, but whatever. I have to kill my wife's parents and then I can move, but until I do that.
Those are big steps.
Yeah, let's edit that out.
Yeah. So how did the last 2 weeks go for you? And it's 2 weeks plus since you said we had to record a little bit later due to illness, but how'd it go?
You had to throw in the plus, huh? So it makes me feel like even a bigger loser.
Don't feel bad. I'm going to say, well, this is going to take 4 seconds as I tell you what I didn't do last week.
So, if you remember, our heroes from last week, I was going to work on conversations, get those finished, and then work on implementing those in Tetsu. And I didn't finish conversations. So this is like a pretty hard problem to solve. And I underestimated how big it is. And actually, since then, I don't think it's such a big problem. But I went through 3 or 4 different ways to solve this problem of conversations. And in the end, I decided I'm storing the conversations in memory. And that's enough for right now. So I'm actually, within the last 4 days or so, I've actually gotten a lot done in the conversations area. And I'm testing it out in Tetsu as I go. And I'm able to, execute several blocks in conversations. And so it's the thing that I'm going to open source. It's called Converse right now. Converse. See, this is why I need to change the name.
You can't use a word that has trademarked two pronunciations.
All right. So anyway, I am going to open source that, but I am really close to implementing conversations in the way that I need them. But I'm going to add some additional functionality for that, for other people. But there's one big caveat here in that if I'm storing them in memory, if your app restarts for any reason, you're going to lose your place. Everybody that's in a conversation is going to lose their place in the conversation. So I want to fix that problem because Tetsu is hosted on Heroku. And if you don't know this, Heroku restarts everybody's app every single day at some random time, which is amazing.
That's great. Yeah. I would suggest not doing that, but
I would. So there's also another issue there is I'm finally going to get off of Heroku. But that's kind of on the back burner. But that still doesn't, if somebody uses this conversation piece on Heroku, I don't want them to lose all their conversations. So I need to somehow serialize these blocks still. And I think I'm going to look into actually building a serialized block, a serialized proc object. So.
Okay. Yeah. How did you end up, how are you storing things in memory anyway?
Just in an array of conversations.
Oh, so you have like a this has become not thread safe at this point, I think.
Yes,
not thread safe. Got it. Yep. Okay, that makes sense. All right. Well,
In a singleton. It's in a singleton object that basically is like a factory.
Okay.
That's because the idea of storing those can be abstracted away pretty easily. Like you can have an in-memory store and probably a Redis store and maybe Postgres store.
Yeah, well, you're a little stuck, I guess, for storing those things off when it comes down to the executable portions, like the dynamics.
Yeah, unless I can create some sort of serialized
proc. Yeah, so you'll have to create something that can marshal itself more or less, and then from there you'll be able to store that in about any sort of data source. But yeah, that's the missing piece for you.
Yep. So I am still probably 2 weeks away from finishing that. And the other thing I did, which may take a little bit to explain, but I started another project. And this is a long time coming, but Tetsu has kind of a pretty robust scheduling system that I created. Actually, you created as well. You helped create, I believe.
Yep.
That allows us. So we schedule a bunch of things in Tetsu. Schedule stand-ups. You can schedule when stand-up quits. And when a stand-up goes on and moves on to the next, you can have like a time limit based on when a participant needs to answer a question.
Oh, nice.
And then it can, it, you know, you can say, hey, they have 3 minutes, and if they don't, it goes on to the next participant. That thing is also scheduled. And the one thing that was missing from the scheduling system was automatic adjusting for daylight savings time. So I added that. At the beginning of November, before the U.S. time moved back from daylight savings time. And so we spent a lot of time building like the scheduling type of system. So I've always wanted to take that piece and move it out and sell it as its own product, kind of like selling your byproducts, right? That I learned from the Basecamp dudes.
Yeah, makes sense. Works for them. They make millions off of it.
Works for them. So actually, I wanted to start this for a while, and I never really had a name for it. And there's something about me where like I need a name for something, even if it's like a temporary name,
mm-hmm.
like Converse. And everybody that I talked to about this said, "Oh yeah, like a cron job." So this is kind of a funny story, not really funny for me, but.
Yeah, it's a little sad, actually.
It's a little sad. So there's a TLD, a top-level domain available called .jobs that recently came up. And it's supposed to be reserved for HR people. I don't know what the governing body is, but cron.jobs is available. So it was like Thanksgiving. It was before Thanksgiving break. It was like around like November 20th or so. So I go to GoDaddy, unfortunately, which was like the only registrar that had this TLD. I hate GoDaddy, but they had them. It was kind of expensive. It was $140. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this. So I go and try to register it, and GoDaddy errs out. Gives me like a 500 when I like hit checkout. So I tried it several times, tried it in different browsers, whatever. The next day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this. So I chatted up with support, and they were basically sending me through their sales funnel. And when they got to the credit card piece, I didn't have a credit card on file. So they're like, what's your credit card? And I was like, well, I don't want to give it to them over chat. So I said, I'll just put it in the, can I just put it into the system and then you guys can use it? And they're like, yeah. So I go to put that in the system and they're like, that 500s. I'm like, how does this fucking company make money? Anyway, edit. And so I didn't. I was like, you know what? This is 400 or 140 bucks. I'll deal with this later. I'm going to call it Crown Jobs. So I go and I start working on this and I pretty much have like all the code for this thing. I do want to eventually probably write it in Elixir, but I was like, you know what? I have all the Ruby code now, because Elixir would actually be pretty simple to do this. But I had all the code and I have like, I'm wrapping in it with an API and I have a bunch of APIs that I've created. So I have that code. I'm using Grape, by the way, which I love Grape. Shout out to Grape for the API portion.
Nice.
So anyway, I go and that's also what I've been working on the past 2 weeks. And it's pretty close to like me being able to use it in Tattoo. The plan is I'm going to have it being able to use in Tattoo by probably the end of this week. And then I'm going to have it available for early beta release by the end of the year. So I'm going to have wrap a UI around it and things like that. And then I'll release it sometime next year.
Nice.
Probably January. Anyway, so last week, I think it was, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm gonna get that cron.jobs. I noticed that the registrar that I use, DN Simple, which is amazing. Shout out to DN Simple. This is not paid advertising, although it could be if you want to use it. And so I go out there and they have .jobs now. So I go and register with them and they say it's already taken. And I was like, mother. So I go to cron.jobs and sure enough, somebody has cron.jobs now. And it looks like they have like a little landing page. It looks like they're doing exactly what this app is going to do. More power to them, whatever. I'm more pissed that I didn't register that domain because that's a brilliant domain. So I registered callback.run. I know it's not as cool, but I wanted a TLD that's not .io or AI or .com. And .run is pretty sweet.
That is pretty cool. I didn't even know there was a .run domain, but... No.
So I was actually looking for .sh, but I didn't know if people would get like a shell. Like,
oh, gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I got callback.run. I'm calling it callback, or maybe callback.run. I don't know. But yeah, I plan on releasing that pretty soon. So I've been working on that in conjunction with Tatsu Conversations. That's what, man, I've been doing.
You make me feel so lazy.
Well, so here's the thing, too. It's like I get bored easily with what I'm working on. Well, not bored, but I like to be able to switch back between two different, totally different projects. And these projects are pretty a lot different. Like one's a web-based API, and the other one is, you know, a pure Ruby implementation that's using bots. And so they're pretty different. So I like to, like, when I get stuck, or it's probably not the most productive thing to do, but when I get stuck or I don't feel like working on that anymore, I just switch to the other project. So that's helped a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that if it works for you to bounce around occasionally, you know, when you feel like you need to let your subconscious mind think about the problem you're working on in project A and then go off and work on project B in the meantime, right. That seems like a totally reasonable approach.
Yep. So that's what I've been working on, man. And besides, and also getting sick. So what have you been doing?
Yeah. So if we go back to my contribution to the last episode, I said that, oh, okay, Kendra's going to be really busy this, you know, 2 weeks ago. She's got some dance stuff that she's going to be dealing with. So I'm going to have like the house to myself, have plenty of time. So I'm going to buckle down and really get a ton of stuff done on Coder Journey. I want to get ahead on my tutorials so that I don't have to rush and get those out each week. And then I want to get a landing page up for my paid Docker course that I want to have launched. And what ended up happening is none of those things. And like, I'm actually currently behind on my Coder Journey stuff. Like, I need to record one today, which is a day after when I normally have one launched. And then on the landing page bit, I actually did make a little bit of progress on that, but not a ton. And so I'm actually taking these next 3 days and the next Monday to kind of really dig down and invest in getting this course entirely finished, or at least finished enough to where I could put it out there for like pre-sale and not feel bad if somebody paid for it and got like part of the course that wasn't quite done yet, but like the rest of this stuff was being wrapped up and shipped. So that's currently where I'm at right now. And I ended up, what happened is basically like we were about, you know, we talked about burnout and the last time we were talking, and I was feeling that pretty bad, but I thought I could kind of get past that. And then what ended up happening is like I had all this time by myself, and what did I do? I literally just like sat around. I like read some stuff. I watched some stuff on YouTube. I like played some video games. Like I was just a total bump on a log. Like I had no motivation whatsoever. And it was like so miserable. And obviously those sort of days just make you feel worse.
Yes. And then, that's the problem with burnout is like the whole time you're like sitting there playing video games or watching something, you, at least for me, I'm like always thinking, man, I should really be working on X. And that just feels like it just burns you out more.
It's a vicious cycle. But ended up sitting down, Kendra and I talked about it to kind of dig down. Cause I thought I knew what the problem was, but I didn't really dig into it too much. But it's more just like I really thrive on having a routine, and my routine's been jacked up for like the last like 6 months, especially just like one-off things happen here and there and it like throws off everything I'm doing. So I got my routine back in line with like morning stuff. I'm a morning person, so I wake up at 5 and I kind of get to work on things, and so back to exercising, back to at least chopping out an hour in the mornings to work on all of my stuff. So that's been really good over the last week. But the thing that held me up from getting my Coder Journey stuff done this week is the fact that I only have two more tutorials left in the series. Like I have a, let's slap a UI on this Rails project that I'm showing you, and then let's deploy this thing. And that is a nightmare. I hate doing UI work. Like I'm so bad at UI stuff. So that just made me procrastinate super hard. And then, you know, I go off and I do like research and stuff, but I was actually doing some things just for fun while I was procrastinating with this. Have you seen javascript30.com?
Yeah. I actually saw your toot and I signed up for it. I haven't, of course, worked on it, but
it's pretty cool, honestly. Like
it's very popular. I see a lot of, I mean, it's hugely popular. It seems like it does good work on it.
Yeah, and this guy, like, he's an educator. Like, that's basically what he does. Like, he just packages up his own courses and kind of sells them or gives them away. But he has another one on Flexbox that I really want to take that's free. I'm like, ooh, this could be good. Because, like, what's the worst part about doing UI work? It's the layout, because CSS makes no sense at all. That's where I currently sit on this. So today I'm almost finished with that video that I need to release today. And then the rest of my week is dedicated to actually knocking out, because the deployment video for next week is going to be super easy. But the rest of this week is going to be dedicated to actually getting my Docker course done and put out there. My goal is I want to have at least my first sale before the end of the year. I want to say I made, like, Coder Journey made some money in 2016. That's going to be where I hang my hat on this year.
Oh, that's going to really screw up your taxes.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'll actually
I'm just make joking. Money. It's not going to screw it. I don't even think you need to, you don't make over like $500 or something.
I think the last time I did any like side work, my accountant was like, dude, why'd you go and make that much money? Now you have to pay like a ton of taxes on that.
Right.
He's like, no, if joking. You had just made less than like $600, you'd have been good.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good motivator.
So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. And the YouTube channel and stuff's still going pretty well. It's kind of nice to I check in there periodically. I almost have 1,000 videos on my first, or 1,000 views on my first video. If I had 1,000 videos, I would be sitting pretty.
So I figured out how YouTubers, how like vloggers and stuff make their money. So you should become a vlogger. But so, like, I don't know if you know who Roman Atwood is, but he's like a one of the top YouTube vloggers. He's got like 10 million subscribers. But he makes like $140,000 a month.
Nice.
Off of his vlogs. What you do is you take, if you take like a $2 CPM, you take the number of views that a video has, divide it by 1,000, and multiply it by 2, and that's pretty much how much money they make on that video. So you're about to make $2 if you had ads turned on, but you don't have ads turned on.
I do not. So I technically do. My videos are monetized, but I turn off like the ad that plays before the episode. And that's just because it's one of those things, like, so technically they're like a banner ad off to the side, and I don't even put the like banner ad that's in the video, because I'm like, all this stuff is annoying. And I would actually turn ads on, even though, I mean, because I think technically in my YouTube account I did have ads on for a little while, like the actual plays before the video ads, and I've made roughly 70 cents to date, I think. Yeah, so I will never get paid by YouTube at the rate I'm going there, which is fine. Like, I'm more using them as like a hosting provider and a way for people to find me.
Yeah.
My long game here is that, you know, YouTube is a place that people go to look for stuff. It's the second biggest search engine in the world.
Yep.
So I want to have a presence there so people can find me, and then I need to be better about directing people off of that to my own site, which can then get them into like my courses, or if I, you know, eventually I think kind of want to write a book at some point. Nice. Those sort of things. And so that's where I'm doing that. And I host it on YouTube, and then I end up embedding the video in a blog post anyway. And I've never actually figured out, like, if you embed it, it still plays ads, I think. And I don't want people to see video ads when they're on my site watching my stuff. So that's why, yeah, I turned the ads off.
What if you, have you thought about, like, deploying them both to, like, Vimeo and YouTube, and, like, embedding the Vimeo on your site, and then YouTube's just a place for people to find you?
Oh, no, I hadn't actually thought about that. That would
probably Vimeo's better for, like, you know, the embedding, because they don't have the ads, and they don't have, you know, it's more of like a hosted Wistia almost.
Yeah, I'll have to check out Vimeo.
And I think their controls are better, like better
UI. Oh, yeah, like the actual UI on the video kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the thing that's that would actually make sense, because most of what I have to link out to from my videos in YouTube is like, hey, go here and check out the code, because like the blog post has all the code in it, or, you know, go here to check out the course that you know if it's a Docker video, you probably want my like intro to Docker course. Mm-hmm. Or eventually you'll want the like new one that I'm coming out with, but so I have to link out to those things. But if you're already on my site, I can just put it in the body of the blog post, and you'll eventually find it, or, you know, put it like a little banner underneath the video or something, and to kind of draw your attention to the important things. So that might be something I look into. I'm gonna cool. Do that, because, yeah, then YouTube can actually make me some money. Not very much. Like, I'd eventually make some coffee money, I think. But, yeah, you know, over the long game, right? Because that's exactly how this works out. Is like,
that's how everybody has to start out. Somewhere.
Yeah, everybody starts out super small. And
Casey Neistat started out with, 70-cent videos.
Yeah, very true. But yeah, so that's where I'm sitting. I'm very motivated right now. So I'm in a good mood now versus the burnout I had experienced over the last like month or so, which is miserable. I had originally wanted to have this paid for course out before December even started, and then yeah, everything just went haywire for me. So I'm feeling good about getting it done by the end of the year, and it's been a little while since I've actually dug in and really got my hands dirty with Docker stuff, so it'll be nice to go in and write the scripts out for this stuff and get that out there.
Cool. Cool, man. Yeah, so the next time we talk will be next year, so
yeah, well, that's true. I guess if we stick to 2 weeks from today, we would be moving everything to Wednesday. If we stick from 2 weeks from our previous recording date, then we would actually record on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm good with recording on New Year's Eve as long as it's in the morning.
Yeah, that works for me.
Because after that, the drinking starts and then the football. So, cool.
Okay.
So maybe we'll have one more show for this year.
Yeah, that would actually be great for me, because then that's just all motivation. Right. Because if we get cool here on New Year's Eve and you're like, hey, is that thing launched yet? And I say no, I'm going to feel so bad.
Cool.
And yeah, so that would be great.
Cool, man. All right. So you're going to have your paid for course launched and your Docker landing page, right?
Well, yeah. So it'll have a landing page and be launched. So it'll be there in its entirety. Ideally, I wanted to have a landing page as like a place that I could direct people so I could get like pre-signups before I was getting any money from people, just to get a little like mailing mm-hmm. list of people that I could send this out to. Mm-hmm. But my mailing list is like 300 people right now anyway, so I'll send it out to them whenever it's ready. But yep, so the Docker course should be done.
Cool, man. And I will have probably a launch. I will have a launch page for callback, and I will have the conversations done by the next time we speak.
Awesome. Sounds good. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right, dude. Bye.